Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said true repentance has a double aspect. It looks upon things past with a weeping eye and upon the future with a watchful eye. We appreciate the fact that you're listening to our program today. We'd like for you to tell others about Bible meditations. It's an opportunity for us to get together and to talk about the Word of God and to find the encouragement and help that we need for living faithful lives in a time of trouble and controversy. Our Bible question this week: who accused a faithful prophet of being one that troubleth Israel? The Lord willing, we'll have the answer on tomorrow's program, so you please be listening at that time. We want to return to our study now. We've been talking about building a strong spiritual life. And I think the desire of all of us is to be stronger spiritually. We would like to know that we are a strong member of the body of Christ. When we read in the Bible about those who are weaker and those who are stronger, all of us would like to picture ourselves as the one on the stronger side. Yet I'm sure that there are recognitions by all of us that we fail sometimes in doing the things we ought to do, and so sometimes we're not as strong as we ought to be. Therefore, we want to build a stronger spiritual life. We do that by daily reading the Bible, letting God talk to us by His Word. We do it by appreciating the example Christ gave for us. He was a perfect example. He did no sin, and we can find the way we ought to react to various situations of life by looking at the good example that He has left. We also suggested there needs to be time every day to talk to God about what's going on in your life. Certainly, we need the help that God can give. We need the encouragement that comes by just pouring out our heart to God with the things that have been affecting us and affecting our lives. Prayer is important. And so the importance of prayer is pointed out many times in the Bible. We looked yesterday at the Philippian letter, chapter 4, in verses 6, 7, and 8. The fact that we must, instead of worrying about things, commit those things to God and allow Him to be with us and to help us as we deal with the hard places of our lives. All right, prayer then is an essential. Here's another thing that we need to think about if we're going to build a strong spiritual life. We must realize that failure is only a temporary setback. I think sometimes we get the idea when we have failed, we've perhaps tried and tried diligently, and yet at the same time we've failed, we become overwhelmed with our failure, and in our anxiety about our failure, we sort of get down on ourselves. I can't do it anyhow. You've seen a child. As that child has tried to do something and he can't do it, and finally he just says, "I can't," and he wants to quit. Well, I think sometimes Christians react that way. They try, they fall short, and so they quit. Well, I believe that failure is not something to get us down. We need to realize that failures will come during our life. Let's look at a few verses that deal with the Christian life and our own desires to do the right thing. In 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 7, John says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us of all sin. For if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. Then chapter 2 and verse 1, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Now look at the passage again. Sin is ever present with us. If you look one time in the passage we were looking at, Jesus, or rather John, referred to sin as being present. If a person says, I have no sin, that's present. Then he goes to the past, and he says, if a man say, I have not sinned, that's in the past. And then he goes to the future, and he says, I'm writing these things to prevent sin, to keep you from sinning in the future. Yet if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. So it's dealt with in this manner. We have sinned, we have sinned currently, and we will sin in the future. That is, we'll do the wrong thing. We'll fall short of the glory of God. Now, I'm not condoning or in any way saying that this passage indicates, well, we're all sinners and therefore we ought to just go right ahead and do the things that we want to do and just go ahead and sin because, well, after all, we're all sinners. Frequently, I hear people pray after this manner, God, forgive us of our sins, for after all, we're just human. Well, what they're saying is, excuse us because we've done the wrong thing. We're just humans, and that's what humans do. Well, of course, we want to get out of sin. We want to stay away from sin, get out of the sinning business, but all of us make mistakes, don't we? Well, the Bible teaches that if we were so presumptuous as to say, I have not sinned, or I'm not sinning, I'm not falling short of God's glory, then we're making God a liar and his word doesn't dwell in us. That just means this then. I'm going to have to deal with sin. Sin in the past, the present, the future. I'm going to have to be able to deal with it. How will I deal with the problem of sin? I certainly cannot excuse sin in my life. The psalmist David in Psalms 32 dealt with sin and said that he covered his sin by acknowledging his sin. He made his sin right, he changed that, by acknowledging, letting it be known that he had done the wrong thing. All right? However, there are some people who try to cover it. Some people who just simply try to excuse themselves. They blame other people for what they've done. Look what you made me do. And that's a common expression in regard to people's conduct. But on the other hand, if I do the wrong thing, is that a reason for quitting? Is that a reason to just say, well, I fall short, I want to do the right thing, but I fall short, therefore I quit. Well, look at a man named Peter. I'm sure that all of us can associate ourselves with some of the thoughts and the things that occurred with the Apostle Peter. Peter was given opportunity to confess Jesus. He said, I don't know him. Again, the opportunity is presented, and again, he says, I don't know him. A third time, Jesus can be confessed before people, and a third time, Peter said, I don't know the man. Three times, Peter denied the Lord. Did he sin? No question about it. Well, if he sinned, is that the end of Peter? Does Peter say, well, I've fallen short, I'm going to quit? No, he doesn't do that, does he? Listen as this same man who said, I don't know the man, stands up with the 11 on the day of Pentecost. You read about that in Acts 2. And there proclaims Jesus as the Son of God. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly, Peter says, this same Jesus whom you've crucified, whom God has raised from the dead, God has made both Lord and Christ. In other words, now he has overcome the mistakes that he made, and he's very strongly proclaiming that he believes in Jesus. Well, friends, Peter didn't allow a temporary setback to overwhelm him. If we're going to build a strong spiritual life, we have to realize there will be setbacks. Well, we'll talk about this some more tomorrow. I hope you'll be listening. Let me remind you that it was Jesus who said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We now return you to our announcer.